It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theriault is here. Mary Jo Foley is taking the week off so she can serve on a jury. She's got jury duty, but that doesn't matter. Paul's getting ready for CES, and we will have a preview of all the amazing, kind of interesting new PCs coming from CES, other products too. Windows Weekly, the CES preview edition, is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly, episode 499, recorded Wednesday, January 4th, 2017. Air in, noise out. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Curry, a real live robot with a great personality. Curry is available for pre-order now at heycurry.com. That's HEYKURI.com. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/windows and enter the promo code Windows. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. Paul Theriault is here. Mary Jo Foley is on jury duty.
I have literally never been called to jury duty.
Wow. Don't say that out loud.
Never.
And I'm knocking on wood furiously.
Will not have my comeuppance. It's never going to happen.
I enjoyed it. When I did jury duty some years ago, I was on a federal jury for one of those child molesting cases that was on Dateline.
Oh, jeez.
Remember To Catch a Predator?
Yeah, sure.
And I really enjoyed it. You know,
Okay.
See. It was a little bit frustrating because I've told the story before. You haven't heard it, so I'll tell it to you. The rest of you, I apologize. We went through the whole prosecution's case, right? And I'm taking notes, and it took 3 weeks, and I'm, you know, going every...
Three weeks?
Yeah, a lot of time. Oh, they don't meet on Friday, so it's Monday through Thursday for 3 weeks. Federal case, so it's a big deal. And we get to the end of that, and now the defense is going to present, except the defense makes a motion for summary dismissal because it's entrapment, and the judge says, yeah, you're right, and throws the whole thing out. And so we go in the next day, and the judge says, you're done. But I've been taking all these notes, Your Honor. You're done. Go home.
That's amazing.
I enjoyed it. I really loved it. So if you ever get a chance to do it, it's kind of cool to do it. I probably wouldn't enjoy like a civil suit, but criminal thing is fun. Yeah.
I feel like if it does happen to me, it's going to be something like that. Some epic weeks long, you know, payback.
Yeah.
Trial thing.
So Mary Jo, this is her first day of it, or no? It started Monday.
Well, she's probably going to be let go, and I was talking to her about this before today, and this has happened to her before. Basically, you know, they get up and call the people, and she says she's a reporter, and they say, no, we don't want you.
I know. That's what I thought would get me off. I said, I'm a reporter, and the attorney even said, well, after the trial's over, do you think you would talk about this on the radio? And I said, absolutely.
Yep.
And they did not kick me off.
Wow. Yeah, they, I guess, Mary Jo emailed us. I haven't talked to her today, but I guess they said, that's nice, but you're staying till 5.
Yeah. So she's sitting in the jury room. She's got her little HP, Spectre 13T, and she can write. She probably doesn't need to go anywhere. She's good. It's a little more.
Where she's not going is Las Vegas.
Oh.
And she's smart.
Nor are you, or are you going?
No, I am going. That's where I'm heading next.
So, in fact, we're going to wrap this early so you can get to the plane.
Yeah, I should have gone a day earlier. There's a lot of stuff that happens today.
Actually, you should have, because the big, I mean, crazy, surprising story, given that, everybody agrees the PC's dead, is the amazing array of PCs.
This is such a weird CES. But yeah, this is me. You can tell I haven't been in a few years because I forgot.
You know, what'd you forget?
I'm going to miss some of the stuff.
Oh, you forgot to go early.
You know, I forgot.
You got to see CES Unveiled, which is the official CES, What are they?
Like some, the Day Zero stuff.
Yeah, Jerry Pournelle has a funny name for these little mini shows.
Right.
It's inherently unfair because companies that have a lot of money spend $10,000 or more to get in these ballrooms. And
like Showstoppers.
Like Showstoppers, Pepcom, and CES Unveiled, the big three.
So that's too bad because that is that the original point of these shows was to support the companies that didn't have the big bucks to go have huge places in the conference hall, right? But yeah, I saw that happen over the years. Microsoft showed up one year. HP got in there. You know, like all the big PC guys get in there. Dell.
And they get the lion's share of coverage. Journalists are lazy and hungry.
Exactly. And it's free food and drinks. It's one room with everyone there. No fluff. Perfect.
Yeah. No fluff.
So Brad's going to one tonight and I'll go one tomorrow night. we'll basically do what amounts to a ceremonial walking of the hall. And I'm sure we'll see something in there. But how hard is it to find one useful thing in a sea of products the size of Taiwan?
Well, you have to kind of know, and that's why I don't go anymore, because you have to know ahead of time what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And if you know that, then you don't have to go because you just read the press release and done.
So, by the way, I wish I wasn't going. And I've successfully covered this show without being there in the past. It makes me so sad that I'm doing this. But
can't you send Brad or somebody?
See, I did that last year. And then this year, work decided we all needed to go.
Oh,
so here I am. Yeah. I procrastinated so long. I was hoping the high price of the ticket would turn them off. But
now, work was right because this is a big PC show, which surprises me a little bit.
Yeah.
Surprises me. Anyway, so Mary Jo will be, I presume, back next week unless she gets on a really big case.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I guess we'll see. I bet she gets off, but yeah.
Well, like I said, it isn't a guarantee. By the way, thank you for the holiday card. Beautiful.
There it is.
A little little montage of denim.
Thank you for your holiday card.
Yes.
Also
ours is a little bigger than yours, but yours is
more,
a fold out.
People in your family.
And mine we got lazy and so it's a postcard.
Yeah. I have an argument with my wife every year over the the color and the message,
which
beautiful. Is very
well, you're the artist.
Non-denominational, I think.
Warm winter wishes. You couldn't get more non-denominational than that. You're not even really committing on anything but the season at this point.
Literally, the conversation was, she says, just look at this and see if it's okay. And I was like, warm winter, really? And then she goes, well, and I said, you know what? I don't care.
It's good. I don't care is the right answer. No, actually, the right answer is not I don't care, but oh, that's wonderful. Yes, dear.
Well, she knows I don't care.
I like this. Well, so this is what you wrote, and I'll compare it with, contrast it with what we wrote. Okay. May your holiday season be filled with peace, joy, and love.
Mm-hmm.
Who could disagree with that? Ours says, Merry Twitmas. See, we can put a pun in there, right?
No, I get that the level of trying was a little harder or a little higher in yours.
Well, I don't think we tried. But this is what we wrote last year. And best wishes for a happy and peaceful 2017. So,
that's nice.
Yeah. Same. It's
I made
not
my
so
Christmas
different.
Card in paint.
What? Really?
Yeah. Every year I do that. The little grid of pictures
this,
in the front.
This is nice. I like it.
Yeah. Microsoft Paint.
Paint.
I know.
You should put on the back, produced with Microsoft
Paint. Yeah. Made by Thorat in denim with Microsoft Paint.
Handcrafted. That's an artisanal god. I like it, though. Pictures of your family, which is not. Sure. You know, I always want to see those. I really do. And I love that you're in it because often dad is the one who takes the picture.
By the way, that's my biggest pet peeve of all time. You get these Christmas cards. 90% of them are pictures of kids. I've never seen, maybe will never see. I have no idea who they are.
Who are the adults?
And you look at the name on the card and you're like, oh, I wish I could see those guys. I haven't seen them in a while and I know who they are.
We share pet peeves.
Yep.
And then I like what you did. It's actually quite clever. You have pictures of your journeys to Amsterdam and Paris and but what you did was just kind of neat. You have the Arc de Triomphe in two different pictures, but they're kind of matched up. And there's some statue. I don't know what that is.
That's Paris. That's where they had the memorial for the terrorist attack.
Ah, beautiful. And you made it a little L with three different images. Yep. I like that. That's really nicely done.
Yeah,
and then, of course, your son went to Rensselaer, so you got the RIT. This is good. This is better than a letter.
It's the year in pictures.
Yeah.
The year for dummies.
And I don't know. Denim gets two. I don't know why. Yeah. But
well, that was just a goofy. There was some store was selling that sign. And I thought it was cool looking. And I took a picture. And
it would be cooler if I had it.
Yes, right, hanging behind you, just mocking me.
Very confusing. All right, let's. I'll tell you what. We're going to get to CES. We're going to talk about the Surface Studio. We have tips. We have tricks. We have all the stuff. Are you going to do a beer?
Yeah, sort of. I have a beer pick.
Because you're looking for a low-carb beer, and you found one, so that's good. Before we do that, though, I would like to show you something. This is a new product that was announced at CES. It was kind of fun. We were contacted very secretly, hush-hush, last month, by Bosch, you know, the big German conglomerate. And they have a little group called Mayfield Robotics in the United States that for the last several years has been completely under wraps working on a robot. And they said, we can't tell you anything except that it's a robot until CES, and then we're going to unveil it. And we saw it, and it's really cool. It's called Kuri, K-U-R-I. And it's going to be, I think some people are going to see this as their first home robot. You can find out more and pre-order if you want at Hey Kuri. Hey Kuri. Hey Kuri, HeyKuri.com. Now, this is not a vacuum cleaner. That's been covered. That's been done. This is a real robot. In fact, if you see it, it's really cute. It's, what do they say? I think 2 feet tall. So it's not intimidating to the kids. And it's a he. It has a personality. In fact, they have emotive eyes and head gestures that really bring it to life. Very cheerful little personality. Kids love it. There's a good picture because you can see how big it is compared to a child. A child can sit next to it. He understands when you talk to him. He does not speak. He chirps. But you'll know what he's saying because he can nod his head and he can answer with a distinct chirp for yes or no. So you kind of, he's responding. And he moves around. Now, what does he do? Well, his microphones allow him to recognize the direction a sound is coming from. So if he hears a loud noise, you can leave him in the house. If he hears, get this, if he hears a loud noise, he'll go investigate. He has cameras. So you can go to your phone and see what he's seeing. You can even have him say, hey, Curry, go check the dog. And it's a dog on the couch. And if the dog is on the couch, you can tell the dog, get off the couch. Curry can save the videos and photos so you can review past events. This is really cute. A camera. He can recognize faces so he knows it's you. He can monitor your home. Now, Curry's not available yet, as with many of the CES products. This is something they've been developing for years, but it won't be out till later this year. It will be $699, but you can pre-order it with a refundable deposit, so don't worry, you're not on the hook for anything, for $100 right now, and pay only $599 at the time of shipping if you go to Hey Curry, HeyKuri.com. Hey Curry. com. Your first home robot is so cute. We will definitely have one wandering around the studio soon. And I think it'll be fun. We can have I could say, hey, Curry, go see what's going on down the hall, and I can watch. You want to hear his sound, his robot sounds? That's hello. That's yes. This is no. Curry. K-U-R-I. HeyKuri.com. All right. This was a surprise to me. Mm-hmm. CES had robots, had cars, had TVs. One of the surprises was it also had Amazon Echo built into every damn thing possible. But Amazon's done a good job.
I predicted that this year we were going to be swimming in a sea of, you know, digital assistant appliances. What I didn't predict was that they would 50% of them would be based on Alexa. You know, I kind of thought the companies would kind of do their own thing. But yeah, so kudos to Amazon. When you think about the coming Google threat, how do they counter that? They've got a great lead. They left last year looking great, and now they're partnering with other companies. I mean, that's amazing to me. They're so smart.
Yeah. It's going to give them a huge advantage over, you know, Cortana and Siri and Google, because they're going to be on TVs. Lenovo's making an Echo Tube, much like the one Amazon's selling, but for less, with designer colors.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant of Amazon because, of course, the biggest thing people do with it is buy stuff from Amazon. So why not? Why not put it everywhere?
And that's their big advantage, that kind of combination of the physical and virtual worlds.
Yeah. Really, really interesting on that.
Yeah.
But the other thing that just shocked me, I did not expect, was the number. First of all, PCs typically don't get announced at CES. There are other events like CeBIT and the time. What is the big Taiwan show?
That WinHack.
No.
You mean the one in the late summer?
Yeah. That's where I usually expect to see all the PCs at the Taiwan show.
Well, there's usually a little bit, but this year has been off the charts.
Crazy. Yeah. So, and by the way, it's really gratifying to see the kind of innovation that's happening in the PC world.
God, it's taken so long too. You know, Microsoft begged PC makers for 15 years straight to make innovative PCs. I mean, if you go back all the way to the first Media Center PC and HP plumped down a tower, you know, just a regular tower right in the middle of your living room instead of making like something that looked like stereo componentry, which is what Microsoft was looking for. There were various PC prototypes HP and actually and Microsoft worked on, Athens PC and so forth over the Longhorn time frame. I mean, they've been begging these guys to do this. And, you know, Windows 10 came out, I mean, like a year and a half ago. And we're only now seeing Windows Hello everywhere, seeing a choice of Windows Hello on computers where you have a fingerprint or camera. We're seeing companies integrate those microphones that work really well with Cortana that can search out your voice and not be just, you know, disrupted by all the noise in the room. Sometimes it just boggles the mind, you know, how slow that kind of stuff happens. And then all of a sudden there's an explosion, and that's what we're seeing now.
So I think Microsoft deserves credit.
Yeah.
Because instead of just saying, you know, he's like, please, 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 they actually just said, oh, screw it. And they put out some PCs.
Yeah, screw you. We're going to do it ourselves. Yeah.
And I think that they deserve some credit because I think Surface Studio especially must have prodded. And of course, the Surface Book and the Surface Pro must have prodded the manufacturers, the OEMs.
You know, there were a couple of pieces of legitimate news from 2 weeks ago when we had Chris Capossela on. And one of them was him confirming what I've been saying for a long time, just based on my impression of what was happening. That there is an open book with the Surface designs. The PC makers are free to take those innovations and run with them and copy them, basically. And you see it everywhere, especially with Surface Pro. In fact, Lenovo just announced another Surface Pro this week. That's one of their many announcements. Smart, you know. And I also, I think I'd written something maybe since the last show. I can't remember what it was. But basically to the tune of when you look at devices like Surface Pro, I'm sorry, like Surface Studio, which is very expensive, or Surface Book with performance base, which is also very expensive. You know, how do you justify that? I mean, one of the ways you justify it is by you're pricing yourself out of the market. You're giving other PC makers a chance to come in with their own premium products that are more reasonably priced, right, that people can actually afford. And I think that's part of the strategy, because when they came in at typical PC pricing with the first gen, a lot of PC makers, literally every PC maker was very upset with them. And I think this is their response. I think this is how they make it up.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's exactly really what you would want. By the way, the other piece of news, which got covered everywhere, even Steve Gibson talked about it yesterday on Security Now, is when Chris acknowledged that they had gone maybe a little too far in pushing Windows 10.
You know, people maybe don't understand him, Chris Capossela. People don't understand Steve Gibson either. But how awesome that guy is and how open and transparent he is and honest, you know, and that when you think about someone like chief marketing officer, I mean, it's basically like chief, you know, propaganda officer almost. I mean, it sounds terrible. But he's such a great face for Microsoft.
He's so good.
Just a great guy, yeah.
And I said it at the time, I didn't realize it was going to be such a big news story, but it was so refreshing that he was that candid. Yeah. And it was also informative because we learned why it took 2 weeks to fix it, the X, you know, mess up, closing the box mess up. But that was the nature of the beast. But he acknowledged it. He said, we knew right away and it took us 2 weeks, but we fixed it as quickly as we possibly could. That kind of message is good, I think.
A year ago when he was on, I got a lot of crap from people because I didn't ask him any hard-hitting questions. And my theory at that time was, this is the CMO of Microsoft. I know him. He's going to talk. just let him talk, you know.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And he did it again, but you know, this year I wanted to ask him about the bad stuff, right? Cuz there was some this year was notable, I think, for Microsoft for the kind of ups and downs, right? Windows 10 specifically, the upgrades gate stuff, the Surface gate stuff, whatever. So I was kind of curious where he would put those events on the list, and he went right for the big one, and kudos to him, you know, for talking about it.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, one of the things, I'm not sure, and I probably should have quizzed Steve more, but my sense was one of the things he picked up from that was the phrase, you know, he said, we have listeners, and we are listening. And we
listeners.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're like the robots from Half-Life 2. They float around in the air.
I didn't take anything from that. I just, I thought what he meant is not merely, not telemetry per se, but we you know, we watch Twitter and Facebook and.
That's exactly what he meant. Yeah, yeah, I've talked to Microsoft about this. They didn't use that exact phrase, but it's a, they're like contact points with customers, right? Obviously, there are some people call on a phone and talk to them, literally complain or whatever.
Right.
Some people come into the stores. Twitter is one, Facebook, whatever. Yeah. So yeah, that's what he meant by that.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't like we're spying on you. And
we don't. Yeah, we have the spy versus spy guys with the hats. Yeah, you know?
We could tell.
What's
you
the
were
word
unhappy.
On the street about Microsoft?
We could tell.
What are the people saying?
All right, so let's start with Lenovo. Mm-hmm. They had, besides announcing a new Amazon Echo based,
yes, there were some other
tube.
Things. Yep.
They announced new PCs. In fact, one Lenovo, I can't wait to buy.
I mean, right now there are two computers that are top of my list because I'm thinking about buying a laptop this year. And one is the new X1 Carbon, which is always awesome.
That's the one I want.
Yeah. And then the other one is the 15-inch version of the HP Spectre X360, which looks beautiful. So I'll review both of those and see how it goes. But the interesting thing is before Lenovo revealed any of this stuff the other day, about a week ago, they kind of came out with this announcement about ThinkPad in 2017 and how they were going to switch things up. And there were three pieces to it, all of which are really fascinating to me. One is that they're adopting Microsoft's signature PC program. They're the first major PC maker
Hallelujah.
To sell signature PCs directly from their own website.
Amazing, Hallelujah.
Right? Hallelujah. By the way, what took so long? It's been, you know, 7 years.
Do you think it has some of that has to do with them, with Superfish and the stuff that Lenovo was putting on its PCs?
Yeah, so that's okay. Interesting story there. Yes and no, right? So the ThinkPads didn't suffer from Superfish, right? That was Lenovo's other consumer PCs. ThinkPads have always had far less crapware on them than IdeaPad or Yoga, or whatever. But they in some ways have loaded them up over the years. I would say over the past year or two, one of the things I've seen from both HP and Lenovo on their premium PCs like ThinkPad is a dropping down of that stuff. Like that, the stuff you get in the box is kind of necessary for the device. They don't put a bunch of stuff in the taskbar or on the desktop anymore like they used to. And if you run something that company wants to put in the taskbar, they'll ask you, and you can say no. And that to me is an incredible step. Going full signature is even better. But the thing I will remind people about Lenovo, because I think people either don't know this or they forgot, before there was a signature PC program, Lenovo was the only PC maker that signed up to something called the Velocity program at Microsoft. It was something they were doing in the build-up to Windows 7, and it became signature. It was basically the first version of Signature. And so if you go back and look at the PCs they sold that year when Windows 7 first came out, they all had little Velocity tags on them, like little stickers and stuff. And the idea was that they worked with Microsoft to reduce the boot time, to reduce the shutdown and resume time, to make sure the drivers were always up to date. It was basically the first version of Signature. It literally was the first version. The reason the Signature program happened was because no one else signed on board. So Velocity was just Lenovo. But what that shows me is that Lenovo has always actually cared about this stuff. I mean, you know, Superfish is a really terrible example of the contrary to that. But I think it was obviously a mistake, right? It wasn't malicious, but it was I don't know. It's not completely unique. I know there were other events, but I mean, it's too bad this happened to Lenovo in a way, because I think they've always actually tried. This
well, and it's a reasonable response if people are concerned to say, all right, well, we're going to do a signature PC, which can't have that, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Look, the Lenovo has problems. Dell and HP don't. Like, for example, they're from China.
Right.
And even though that's I think we all understand that ThinkPads are made in North Carolina, designed in North Carolina, they always have been or whatever. But
they still are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that whole team is still there. That all happens there. But
okay.
Yeah.
That's the old IBM team.
Yeah. Yeah, it literally is. I deal with the same people that were at IBM.
Wow.
That said, it's owned by a Chinese company. And I think for some people, there's always going to be that little bit of mistrust when something like Superfish happens. It's terrible. It would have been terrible if it happened to Dell, but it happened to a company that is Chinese. And so, of course, people are like, oh, here we go. You know, like we're all waiting to discover this kind of backdoor.
Right.
Anyway, I don't believe that stuff exists, but I think they've done a great job. Anyway, there were two other things that they announced ahead of CES. One was that they're dropping their proprietary one-link docking solution and embracing USB-C / Thunderbolt 3. You know, super smart. By the way, everyone is. I mean,
everybody's doing that. And that's a great dock solution.
Yeah. And it's funny because the OneLink Plus thing was actually very, very good and was very close to what USB-C Thunderbolt 3 is. But this is them embracing standards and all that kind of stuff. And it's just awesome. So that's good. And then the other one was they're adopting Microsoft's Precision Touchpad standard, which is also awesome. We're starting to see that from other PC makers, too. I know Dell's done it. Some other companies are announcing it at CES. I believe there's been some leaked documentation that suggests that precision touchpad support it will, in fact, one day become a requirement for that design for Windows logo that they get for the box. That's not a fact, but I believe that's going to happen. So this is basically them just moving quick to make it happen. And so, you know, again, kudos to them on all of those things, right? And this all happened before we even knew what these computers were going to be. And then they announced them. Of course, they're awesome. Right? I mean, they're awesome.
It's the music. I'm sorry.
It's good.
They're going to have LTE in it and the ThinkPad Carbon.
Yep.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of stuff going on, but it's, you know, X1 Carbon obviously is the kind of the flagship Ultrabook. There's an X1 Yoga, which is was actually tied for my best computer of 2016. It's an incredible device, basically a transforming or convertible version of the X1. And then there's an X1 tablet, which can work like a 2-in-1 device as well, where the screen splits off right from the base.
Carbon is the regular kind of laptop-y one.
Yeah.
Okay. But is it the same kind of stuff inside the Yoga?
Yeah, so the differences there off the top of my head, there's just a couple. I mean, because of if you think about how it kind of bends back onto itself and becomes a tablet, they actually designed the keyboard so that it sinks into the device as that happens. So if you put it backwards in like a presentation mode or if you have it in tablet mode, the keyboard actually sinks back into the device.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so it doesn't touch anything.
That always bothers me about the 2-in-1s is that you're putting the keyboard on the desk.
Yeah, it's a really cool device. I mean, I just don't use it enough in that mode to spend the extra money.
Yeah, but that's, I think, as opposed to a detaching screen.
I prefer this.
This is kind of a sensible. I mean, it doesn't get any lighter, but you're not giving up any. You know, like when I detach the Surface Book, I lose a lot of battery.
Yep.
And it's got the pen. Nice.
Yeah, it comes with a pen. Yep.
That might be the one I want. And everything's Thunderbolt now with this new Thunderbolt dock.
Yeah. The other thing I like about these devices is they're 14, not 13-inch screens. And, of course, one of the big things they did this year is what everyone else is doing, which is you put the big screen in the smaller form factor. So it's like a 13-inch form factor device but with a 14-inch screen.
Yeah.
I really love that move. But I prefer bigger screens, which is one of the reasons I'm thinking about a 15-inch for this year. But 14 is just about 14's right.
14 is a nice compromise, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so that's the Yoga. I'm looking at the video, the cell videos for all of these.
Yeah, the one thing they haven't done, and I talked to HP about this. I'm going to talk to Lenovo about this week. As you squeeze these bigger screens into smaller display at smaller forms, you start to see like there's a little bit of lip, you know, at the top and bottom of the screen, like a bezel.
Yeah,
and you get it's like kind of edgeless on the right and left. And my whole thing is like, guys, go completely edgeless. And make it a 3x2 screen. You know, there's exactly enough room there.
I agree.
And no one has said yes to me. But I wouldn't be surprised if next year that's where they go next.
They're still doing 16.9. Microsoft's all 3.2 now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the next. I think that's going to become the standard for PC.
I kind of agree with you. I like 3.2. This is the Mix, which is their Surface, basically, clone.
That's right. Yep.
The Mix 720. All right.
Yeah, so... Yeah,
you know, Dell announced a bezel-less, the XPS 13 that is now in the 2-in-1 form
That's
factor.
Right.
Which of the two do you think, the Yoga or the Dell XPS Bendy?
Yoga, definitely over the XPS 13. It's interesting. Dell was the first one with that kind of edgeless display.
Right.
But they put the webcam at the bottom, which to me is just
it's
a horrible
weird. It's
place.
Up your nose. And, on the other hand, it's exactly the right. Now it's in the center at least. And it's in exactly the right place if you bend it around, which you might be doing if you're Skyping.
Okay, that's not bad.
So it's. Yeah. I think that might not be such a negative anymore. I don't know.
Okay,
I agree with you.
Good.
I have several of the XPS 13s, including the bezel-less one, which I love.
I'll look at the new one. I mean, I the one that transforms now.
Yeah.
The first-gen version, everyone was so gaga over the screen, but I had lots of problems with the power management and also with the wireless connectivity, and they switched all that stuff up in Gen 2, so they fixed that. But, I think edgeless is cool. No one really is doing edgeless in every direction because they do want a webcam or whatever, and I kind of get that. But if you look at HP's design, there's a big bezel at the bottom. It's like, guys, 3x2, anybody?
So 3x2, you think would just kind of eliminate that?
Yeah, I think it would basically remove the remaining bezel. It'd be perfect.
Interesting. So let's talk about the HPs. They announced new X360s, which this is the other one you really liked last year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the other one that tied. So the 13-inch rev of the X360 came out in the fall, and that tied with the Yoga for my favorite PC of the year. And when it happened, I pinged HP and I said, any chance you guys doing a 15? Because they did one last gen, and I loved it. And I don't know. Obviously, I don't know what the sales number are. I'm really surprised they did it. I have to imagine they're not as high as on the 13. But the new 15-inch looks beautiful. And it uses that that darker color scheme. Remember they had the, I don't know if it's like carbon and copper or something. Beautiful, beautiful looking device. 12 hours of battery life, et cetera. They're doing the X360 thing with the EliteBook, which is the business laptop. So now you get that transforming form factor there as well. They updated the HP Spro, which I don't really see around too much, although if you visit a Microsoft store, they'll often have one of these on display. But it basically does, it has an HD projector and a touch mat. And in the past, it could do scanning from the camera, but the new version does 3D scanning from the camera as well.
Oh.
It's kind of like, you know, a creator type device. You could think of this as maybe the first Surface Studio type device in some ways. It's kind of, it's quirky and innovative and... I think some people will look at this and not get it, and I think I kind of fall into that category a little bit, but some people are going to look at this and say, oh my God, I have to have one of these. You know, this is something about it. It's kind of a curious.
So funny how HP's bringing the sexy all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well,
I love this all-in-one. This is amazing. I mean,
HP's progress over the past three years now is somewhat astonishing. And it's funny because they started with the low end of the market. They came up with those HP streams and all that stuff. And
cheap,
now
cheap.
You get these. Yep. And now you look at they've clearly seized on the premium end of the market. And I think you were just looking at the HP Envy Curve all-in-one. I have the previous version of that. And instead of that kind of elegant pole in the middle with a base, it just has little legs on the sides, right? So it's fine. It's nice.
Gets the job done.
But then you look at this thing and you realize this is, you know, it's like high-end.
It's like B&O. This looks like Bang & Olufsen.
Yeah, well, it is actually.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, they use it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They have a sound bar for it. But this 34-inch curved screen on the base, which is just like the Surface Studio, that's the computer.
Yep.
But unlike the third Surface Studio, they're giving you, it's a better price, and they're giving you a little bit more performance, including NVIDIA. And and it starts, well, I don't know if it's much better price. It starts at $1,729.
That's a lot cheaper, though.
Is it?
$1,729.
Yeah. Not touch, though, right?
No. This isn't designed for for that use. It's more the type of thing you would
need. It's a home theater PC, almost.
Yep.
You'd buy that instead of a TV.
Yeah.
If you were a student, that's your home. That's your entertainment unit.
Yeah. If for movies, it's obviously incredible. Yeah. For productivity work, it's like watching a tennis match. You know,
it's a little weird. It's a little weird. I have one of the Dells, and it takes some getting used to. Yeah, because you're kind of – it's so wide.
It's a little bit like a dual display, but in one display.
Yeah. That's really how I used it. I would have documents. I ended up going back to the three displays for a variety of reasons.
To make a wallpaper that has just a black bar in the middle so it looks like two screens.
Well, you get weird wallpaper effects, by the way. So Michael's using – our 14-year-old's using it for his gaming machine, and it's really interesting. Well, I don't know if it's nice because not all games really know what to do with that weird aspect ratio.
Yes. Yeah. When HP demonstrated the previous version, they had a racing game on this display, which did take advantage of that. And, you know, you basically got cool. wrap around 180-degree view. It was really impressive. And then they have a 35-inch gaming version of it as well.
I'd have to – the Omen.
Yeah, just for the display, I should say.
I'd have to decide if I could give up touch, like how important the cosmetics would be. I guess you wouldn't want to touch a 35-inch, 34-inch screen. Anyway, but what I'm thrilled to see, and there were other manufacturers showing off cool stuff besides HP, mm-hmm. Dell, and Lenovo, but is just the innovation, the variety, the ecosystem there. And frankly, it puts Apple to shame. I mean, I think more and more I'm...
But this is the promise, right? I mean, this is what the PC industry should deliver.
Yeah.
That's the point of this choice, right? That these guys are competing with each other for the same customer dollars.
Yep.
And are coming out with ever more innovative devices to make that happen, right? I mean, it doesn't always work, you know, obviously. But this is when I think about the PC industry, I mean, in the inherent advantage it has over single supplier, because there are, you know, things that are problems too. That's it. I mean, that's number one. It's range of choices at range of price points. And we're really seeing it at CES this year. It's neat.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, it's great. It is. It's living up to its promise.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, all of it, despite the fact that there will be Windows on ARM, we didn't see any of those. We saw no WOA machines, right?
Not yet. I don't know if we will or not, but no, not yet.
Not yet. But we did see new Kaby Lake desktop chips, right?
Yeah. And obviously, all these new PCs that we've talked about already are all Kaby Lake, laptop chips. CES is interesting this year for a number of reasons. I mean, and I follow it from a PC perspective, but Intel and Qualcomm as kind of the primary suppliers of microprocessors for personal computing devices are kind of going head-to-head this year for the first time, which is really interesting. So they've put out their desktop stuff. Intel has finally about 5-6 months after they shipped the laptop parts, which they kind of rushed to market, right? Because Skylake was such a disaster. They had to get that fixed, and they did that. They did it in time for the Christmas, so the holiday selling season, smart. The desktop stuff, not as important because desktop parts, the power management stuff, isn't as big of a deal, obviously. So that stuff's basically all out now. They're actually, I wouldn't be surprised to see Celeron, Pentium stuff happen later. There's going to maybe super high-end extreme type chips maybe later too, but basically that thing is Kaby Lake is kind of fleshed out now, so we get that. And now we can look forward to their eventual delay of Cannon Lake, which I assume will not ship this year. But we'll see. But in some ways, the Qualcomm thing is bigger news, right? Because the Snapdragon 835, which is the chip Terry Myerson was talking about in December when he talked about Windows on ARM, and is the chip that's going to power smartphones, tablets, and now computers, right, is very, very interesting. And it's, you know, every year you could look at what Qualcomm announces and you talk about it's X percent smaller, X percent faster, X percent more efficient, whatever it is. This is the same as that. It does all that stuff. And they've added a bunch of features to it that I think are going to be awesome for, for really mobile devices like phones and small tablets. But the stuff in it that's for PCs, or if you look at what's in it and kind of apply it to PCs, you can kind of see where Microsoft was very interested. And it's, you know, incredible battery life. And then that integrated right into the SoC, high quality LTE, as well as I think it's called Y-Gig connectivity, and the ability for this stuff just to work at super low power. And it's hard not to read the Qualcomm stuff and not think about how Terry Myerson described this stuff, because it's basically the same message. So nothing yet at the show. I'd be surprised if they actually, if we actually saw that stuff.
It's interesting, though, and you quote this in your article about it.
Yeah,
Qualcomm says this is for smartphones, VR, AR, head-mounted displays, IP cameras, tablets, mobile PCs,
right,
and more. They know. And you know what? This has got to scare Intel like crazy.
Yep, it should.
Jeez.
It should. Now, there's a good market, and you could argue too. The growth part of the PC market today is in premium computers, and that's, you know, gaming PCs as well as like the ThinkPad, Spectre type machines. But you know, we got to look for the volume and we got to look for the growth of the future. And if Qualcomm can undercut these guys on the low end of the market, Intel's got a problem, you know, because from a volume perspective, it's not going to be there. So we'll see. We'll see how it works. And a lot of people keep trying to remind me that, you know, right now it's just vaporware. But I think they have a chance.
Yeah, it's vaporware, but they've been pretty good at delivering, you know, upgrades year in, year out. Yeah. So.
Yep. The other thing I'd remind people about when it comes to Qualcomm 835 or whatever, when you're talking about ARM, is there's already an established market out there for these processors, and that market is not Windows. And when you think about things like Continuum, where you have a Windows 10 mobile device, which nobody owns or wants, and you can plug it into a dock and put it up on a display and use it with a keyboard and a mouse, that's a very interesting demonstration, but it's not a very good real-world solution because it doesn't have the apps on the mobile side or on the PC side. Windows and ARM solves 50% of the problem, right? It gets the desktop half of the story going, which is nice, but it doesn't solve the mobile half. If an Android maker, a phone maker like Samsung, which is rumored to be doing this, or better yet, Google, which makes the platform, can get a Continuum-like feature built into Android, we have a big problem on our hands because Android solves the biggest problem, which is mobile, which is what most people need most of the time. And if Android apps work okay on a big screen and you can get typing done and printing and stuff like that, I get bad news for everybody. That's pretty much what people need, most people. I know maybe not you, the guy listening to this podcast, or me, but that is what most people need. So I've got my eye looking for this. Maybe we'll have to wait till Google I.O. or whatever, but that's a big hole waiting to be filled. So pay attention to that stuff too. It's not all, you know, rosy for Microsoft necessarily.
Let's take a little break. We'll come back. We'll talk about gaming PCs as well and any other tidbits. I wonder, I'd like to know what you're going to be looking for when you go there, frankly. So let's talk about that in a second. But first, a word from our sponsor, as they say, Casper, the mattress of the year. I'm naming it the mattress of the year because I love my Casper mattress and I'm going to sleep on it all year long, and so are you. The nice thing about the Casper mattress, you order it direct from the factory, which means you're getting it at a much lower price because they don't have to support showrooms, et cetera, et cetera. And you get 100 days to try it, which is a lot more than any other mattress. I mean, you literally get it in your home, sleep on it. They should make their slogan, hey, Casper mattress, sleep on it. Because you get to sleep on it for 100 days. And at any time in those 100 days, you say, yeah, I like my old mattress better. They'll come. They'll take it. They'll refund you every penny. It will not cost you a cent. And they know they have to do that, frankly, because if you're going to order a mattress sight unseen, they know they got to give you the chance to try it out. I think you're going to like it. I sure love mine. It's a springy latex foam on the top, supportive memory foam on the bottom, which gives you just the right sink, just the right bounce. It's actually a good idea to go visit casper.com/windows and take a look at how they designed their mattress, because I think it's fascinating. And why they designed it the way they did, you know, what they put into it. I really love this mattress and the thought they put into making the perfect mattress. For instance, they considered firmness, density, rebound speed, airflow, transition temperature, which you might say, well, what does that mean? Well, it's how low the temperature can get before the foams, as you might know if you've had foam or memory foam mattresses before, they get harder when it's cold. And they've really figured out a way to keep it consistent across all temperatures. By the way, it breathes like you wouldn't believe, which means it is you never get sweaty. You never get, how to describe this without getting weird. Same thing with the odor. They don't, the way they're making this, they use water-based adhesives. It does, it comes out of the box, and it is a surprisingly small box. Opens up, and it doesn't smell like latex or foam or anything. It's just clean. They made 108 prototypes of this mattress before they came up with the perfect one. And you will, I think, agree. Try it. Try it. 100 days, painless returns, anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Shipping is free both ways. 2016 Business Intelligence Group Innovation Award winner won an award. It's won awards from everybody. I mean, it is, and it's very affordable. You can get a twin mattress for $500. But here's the deal. You'll save an additional $50 towards your mattress purchase just by going to Casper, CASPER.com/windows. You got to use the promo code Windows, though, so that they know you heard it on the show. Casper.com/windows, CASPER.com/windows. And use the offer code Windows for $50 off. Some terms and conditions apply. I really love this company. Go to the website and read about it, and then pull the trigger. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. Casper.com/windows. And you know what? If you don't like it, no harm, no foul. It's easy to return and get your money back. Windows Weekly, Paul Thurrott is here. As you might have noticed, it's just me and Paul. We've staged a bloodless coup.
It's a sausage fest is what
it is. It's a sausage. We used our vast resources within the federal government to get Mary Jo Foley put on jury duty.
Yep. Also a missed opportunity. We don't even have any Xbox stories this week.
What? This was our chance to talk gaming, Paul.
I know. I will note that I am on Prestige 5 on Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered.
Does it go to 11?
I'll let you know where it goes. I'm going to find out.
He's going all the way. Mm-hmm. We've been playing a lot of Overwatch at the LaPorte household. That's a lot of it's kind of like
that's
Call of Duty
son,
for
that's
kids.
My son's big game.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And it's team play, and it's got cute guns.
Sure.
Cute, really fun characters. I really enjoy it. It's a great game. That's a Battle.net game. And a game you probably could play on some of these new laptops. We saw a number of gaming laptops from all of the big companies, including Acer. In fact, gaming PCs was the big category from this year. Yeah?
Yeah, and I didn't write about this yet, but NVIDIA has brought some of its newer graphics chipsets to laptops this week as well. So we're going to see even more of this
nice stuff
going forward.
Yeah. Are they M's? Do they call them M's?
You know, I'm not positive.
Yeah, probably.
Right.
I love how cool these Acers look.
Yeah, it's really interesting to watch.
Right.
Yeah. All of the big PC makers are just latching right onto the same trends. Right. They all have these big honking gaming PCs, desktop and laptop, many models. One of the Acers is a 21-inch.
Wow.
$9,000 laptop.
What? Wait a minute. What?
Yep, right there.
I missed that part. The Predator is $9,000?
It has dual graphics and SLI mode. I think it has 5 cooling fans. It basically requires the power management of a Volkswagen, I think, to keep it going. It's crazy. And that they
is
have
it
an
air? American is it water pad cooled?
It doesn't say that.
I bet it is.
I bet it is too, actually. The numeric keypad flips over and becomes a precision trackpad, touchpad.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. Oh, and this is the kicker on these devices. They're Skype for Business certified.
Oh, yeah, I'll be doing that.
I don't know why, but. Yeah, I mean, that looks like a spaceship from, Star Wars or something.
It's beautiful. I always feel like, though, when I buy an Alienware mm-hmm. or, Doghouse or like one of these Predators or ROG stuff, the styling is costing me thousands.
Oh, yeah.
Not because it costs thousands to make, but that's just,
again, talking to these guys, I hear the same thing all the time. And this is what people want in this space, right? They want the keyboards that light up, preferably in different colors that they can customize. Red seems to be a big design element in all of them, or at least in most of them. This is what the consumer wants.
Wow. Acer last year said we're going to get out of the super low end, low price computing. They had kind of two lines, like a lot of companies do, kind of a consumer line that was cheap, 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 and a better line like the S7, like the stuff Mary Jo was using and I was using for a while, that was more expensive. No, I'm not talking to you, Siri. She just butts into every conversation.
When I say the word seriously.
Seriously.
Siri pops up. Yep. So if you're listening and you've got an Apple device. Sorry.
You know, the funniest thing when I went back east is I started to get, I don't think I ever had a Providence accent. But I started,
getting it back immediately.
I'm talking to the waitresses and everything, and it's funny how that gets right in your head.
It's really hard to overcome, Leo. I literally have spent years on this.
Does Siri understand you if you use if you go full Boston on her? Or Cortana, do they understand you?
They use machine learning. I think they could handle it. You know,
there's a very funny video. I don't know if you saw it about from the BBC about a couple of Scotsmen trying to use an elevator,
a voice recognition elevator.
Right. And as you might expect with Scotsmen, they get more and more irate as they're in the elevator.
Press the buttons.
Oh no, they installed voice recognition technology in this lift. They heard them in us.
Voice recognition technology? In a lift? In Scotland? You ever tried voice recognition technology?
No.
They don't do Scottish accents.
11.
Could you please repeat that?
11.
11. 11.
11.
Could you please repeat that?
11.
It does get a little salty.
Whose idea was this? You need to try an American accent. 11. 11.
This one's Irish, not American.
What, doesn't it? 11.
Where in America is that? Dublin.
I'm sorry. Could you please repeat that?
Try an English accent, right? 11. 11.
You for the same part of England as Dick Van Dyke?
You get the idea. Eventually, they actually assault the thing. Because every man from Scotland has
that. Is everyone's response to the voice. When it doesn't hear you, you start yelling at it.
Yeah, 11.
It's like, I'm sorry, would you like me to delete the message? Yes. What was that? Yes. You just like escalate it.
Oh, and by the way, Cortana has popped up for me now. I don't know what I said.
You speak to someone in a foreign country and you don't understand the language. You just yell to make them hear you.
Yeah. I'm talking now. I'm speaking your lingo.
Sure. Smart.
Who else? What manufacturer have we not mentioned? Anybody else do something interesting? That's,
you know, Toshiba just had a single announcement. Nothing serious.
Wait, Toshiba had one?
I know. Well, I'm thinking there might be more later.
Well, like I said, I think there are other shows that are generally have more.
Well, Toshiba's also not doing great, and they're trying to sell off the PC.
This is so bland. The Portage X20W, it's like,
that's nice. Yeah, Thank you, Toshiba, for really working hard on that one. Right.
Still there, eh?
Phoned it in. Yeah. Nevertheless, if you want an uninspiring laptop, it's good to know there's still a place you can go.
Yes. there's a couple things I haven't written about yet, like the LG Gram line is, I think it's 13, 14, and 15-inch screens. The really lightweight device, I think the 13-inch is like 2.1 pounds. Those are kind of cool looking. There's a company called Bridge with a Y that makes iPad keypads. You know, we can kind of turn an iPad into like a laptop. Finally, someone has made a hardware keyboard for the Surface Pro. It works for Surface Pro 3 and 4. Has, you know, a trackpad, obviously, and, you know, it works like a laptop. So instead of using the kickstand, you just open the screen and the bottom supports it. So I'm going to – I'll see those guys at the show. I'm curious about that one. Asus has a 14-inch business notebook that's a lot like the Carbon, which looks kind of interesting. It's only going to be $1,000. It's funny. I put this one aside to write about it later, but in Gadget, I think The Verge and maybe some other guys have seen their first peek at a Windows holographic headset prototype, right? Interesting, right? Exciting.
Oh.
They put it on. They talked about how much it weighed, and they said it was really light. It was really well made, and blah, blah, blah. Here's the joke. It's a prototype. It doesn't do anything. There's no display.
Oh, it's just like, it's like one of those dummy cell phones, a plastic shell,
and say this is what it's going to be.
It's going to be amazing. See how comfortable
it is. You have to deliver the hardware. Like, so, anyway, congrats for going hands on with that piece of worthless
plastic. Yeah. Wow.
I look forward to doing it later this week. So I don't know.
I'm really thinking you don't need to go. You just covered it.
I know.
How about reality? So, besides the Windows holographic, I would bet you're going to see a lot of people with VR.
Oh, yeah.
And
we're
AR.
Start making this stuff. Yeah, the digital assistant appliances, like I said, the VR, AR, whatever you want to call it, that stuff. Heads, it's going to be headsets everywhere. It's going to be people, you know, looking around at nothing. Car tech, and by car tech, I mean, yes, this is going to be a hall full of car stereos like there always is. But yeah. Microsoft will be demonstrating some car tech stuff there. Google is integrating into various cars, and I don't mean Android Auto. I mean, like, in the dashboard. That stuff is very interesting. I think the voice control stuff makes a lot of sense in the car where that we have concerns about drivers being distracted and so forth. So I think that stuff's going to be really big. I got an email about an aromatherapy device that's controllable with a smartphone. I'm looking forward to that.
What's that smell?
The family-friendly show, so I can't discuss the sex toy advert I just got
as
well.
Oh, Lord.
CES is a... it's a mess.
Yeah.
Like the emails I get from CES are just a stark reminder of why I never go to CES.
I think I don't see a lot. I must have a filter that I set up years ago that just goes
well, they're trying new things now. Now you'll get emails from a PR person. It will say something like, hey, could you do a favor for a PR gal from Akron or something? And then you look at it. It's like, look,
no.
We're one of like 200 people that are going to be at the Showstoppers event or whatever it might be. And if we'd really appreciate it. If you could come by our booth and talk to us about this, and then you see what it is, and it's like a rocking chair with a child monitor thing built into it. You're like, seriously, guys? Like, it's just, I don't know. So, yeah, it's
well, not great. Now that I'm looking in my email, here's one. Como Audio has announced the Solo and Duetto music systems and the Ambiente companion speaker. That's all they're saying. Oh,
sounds
we'll be at Showstoppers.
Sounds Italian.
Can't wait to see it. Oh, there it is. It's a little. It's a radio. Nice.
Well, I will say, you know, like Yubico is going to be there, and they're doing USB-C based security devices.
Right.
Yep, that stuff's good.
Yeah.
You know, like chargers and I don't know, smart light strips.
Here's an ergonomic
I'm just looking through my email. It's like the craziest.
It's just junk.
Awfulness, you know.
It's so much junk. And the problem is you got to filter through it all. And it's all 1 mile away. Oh, here's something new from Snakebite.
Yeah, right. Here you go. The Hello Egg.
Oh.
An all-in-one AI-based kitchen solution. Yes.
So here's a company called Big Boy PR.
Yes.
Right. Starting the year with a bang, Alex is at Big Boy PR. Huge news from Lucid Sound announcing an official Microsoft license to begin producing Xbox-specific headsets. All of this stuff, though, has to be sold. And they've got to... Now, it used to be you went to CES to get in the dealers.
But there
aren't any dealers anymore.
It's a completely different kind of show now. It's you know what this is like, Leo? You might enjoy this comparison. It's like allowing pharmaceutical companies to advertise directly to consumers. That's what CES has become. It used to be you were exactly right. The point of this show was you went to CES so that you could get backing and orders, and that would cause you to be able to build these things.
Yeah.
Right? And now... It's kind of more of a direct relationship with the public, and there are obviously different ways to get funded. You know, a lot of these people are probably using private funding or like even web-based funding programs, whatever. It's completely different, and it's turned into a disaster as a result, right? It's just too much stuff, too much stupid stuff.
I think you can also blame Chinese manufacturing prowess.
Yep.
For some of this. I mean, anything that you can imagine can be made now.
There used to be, it was between the Hilton and the convention center, there was this kind of little gray area. It was attached to the Hilton. And that used to be the Asia Hall.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's where you would go to see all the crap you see everywhere now, because that was basically little mom and pop things
manufacture. Yeah, the Taiwan Pavilion. No, yeah, exactly. It's like the whole show.
It is literally the whole thing, yeah.
Here, I like this one, Gigabyte. They make a bunch of motherboards, and they also make the thing called the Bricks, which is a NUC. They've got a new gaming Bricks.
Yeah, look at that. That's cute. Nice.
I want that little tower glowing on my desktop. This is the gaming GT PC.
i7K.
What is that? Is that like super high-end?
The higher-end, yeah.
It's GTX 1080. Not 1080M. Well,
like the mobile ones are i7U, right?
Right. Is a desktop. Air comes in, noise goes out. Look at that. That's, yep. That's a clever design.
That's not particularly unique, but yes. That's
it looks like works. One of these flaps.
That's how it flies. No, it's like a louver on a car. If it gets hot enough, they raise up to let the air out.
Oh, the K is unlocked so you can overclock. That's an overclockable part.
Yeah,
that's
but it's quad.
It's a 4
right?
gigahertz quad core
yep.
with hyper-threading, a 91-watt part. Yep, that CPU alone uses more than your light bulbs.
I bet the power supply for that device is bigger than the computer.
Oh, I bet it's external, right? It'd have to
be. Yeah, it has to be. Well, it doesn't have to be, but I bet it either takes up a big chunk of that thing or it's outside.
Actually, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You could put two hard drives in it.
Yeah.
Two and a half inch hard drives. Chat room. The only reason I linked to it is chat room was talking about it and saying, we like this.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. How much money do you have? What else? Anything else you want to talk about from CES? Have we done it?
That's pretty much most
that's
of it.
That's it. That's CES. Yeah. You can go home now.
That's day zero. There'll be more tomorrow.
Day zero.
And again, I approach it from sort of a PC perspective, right?
Well, all this kinds is of Windows Weekly. Gadget yeah, there's stuff, a lot of other crap, but...
Yeah.
Studio, sir. I'm still loving that Surface Studio. And by the way, the hard drive upgrade was a very nice upgrade. Did improve performance to the point where I'm completely happy with the machine. And boy, I miss it when I'm not using it. The interface is great. They sold a whopping... What? 30,000?
Yeah, so it's a little fuzzy. It's DigiTimes. You got to put the little asterisks next to that. But according to their sources, suppliers, Microsoft has ordered 30,000 units to be shipped in the first quarter of 2017, which is about double what they, DigiTimes, was expecting.
It's still a very low number, right?
Yeah, but, you know, that's a business, right? Remember when we were talking about like the Elite X3, which is a phone, and how... This device should compete with PCs, not with phones. And what's success look like in the PC industry, right? I suspect most profitable PCs, or most PCs, I guess, sell in the tens or hundreds of thousands, right? And then a few hit the million mark.
Right.
You know, for a device that averages a price of $3,500, a whack. And by the way, that makes it about a $100 million, you know, revenue thing. I don't know. That's pretty good. I mean, there are two ways to look at the future. I sort of made the argument early on that this might represent most of what they sell, right? That most people who want this thing have ordered it and are waiting to get it, and that will be the end of it. But I was talking to Brad about that, and he mentioned that, you know, there might be some businesses where they order one to test it out, and then they decide it's right for them, and they might order more after that. And so there may be they may have a pretty good year, all told. So,
yeah, we'll see.
I mean, again, you know, for an expensive device, that's pretty impressive.
It's, you know, it's not, I can't imagine it's a business for Microsoft, right? It's not.
Well, hopefully it's profitable, right? Which should be job one. But I think the real point of this, like it is for all Surface devices, is just to be aspirational, right? For customers, right? So they don't leave to go to other platforms, but also for PC makers. So they can look at the design of this thing, look at what works, look at what people really like. And then make hopefully a lower cost version of it for themselves. And so maybe next CES, what we'll be talking about are all the 3x2 touch capable things where the screen comes down and you write on it with a pen, but it only costs, you know, $1,500 or $2,000.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And I'm talking about it. They're getting press.
You know, they've gotten nothing but good press. In fact, it is perhaps notable that. I don't think I've ever read anyone who's written something negative about Surface Studio beyond, you know, stating that the price is very expensive, you know, which it is.
And it's underpowered a little bit.
And it is a little underpowered, yeah. And most people, you know, think about it. Most people say, I just want the screen, right?
Yeah.
Which is such a wonderful problem, you know. A lot of people are saying, I want you to build something else so I can buy it, you know. It's just... I look at this. I mean, you know, my initial reaction is that Microsoft is crazy to sell something this expensive, but I'm comfortable being wrong all the time. So what's the big deal there?
You had a little bit of mobile news here before we get to the tips.
Kinda the scraps. I kind of look back over the 2 weeks, you know, what's going on, and there wasn't much over the holidays. But, Duolingo, which is my favorite mobile app, just did a big upgrade where they have social networking capabilities built into it. So basically you can start clubs, people can join. And, you know, it's like a social networking feed like you see on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, where you can see as people are doing things in whatever language, you see what they did. You can like things and comment on it and all that kind of stuff. So I basically just do Duolingo by myself. My wife does it. We talk about it already in real life, so I don't really need this, but it's kind of a neat thing. Super Mario Run, obviously a huge game on iPhone over the holidays, is coming to Android, which we knew, but over the holidays they put up a, I don't know why they call this, but it's like a pre-registration
page. Yeah, they did this with Apple too, kind of let me know when it comes out.
Get people excited. Yeah, and they can gauge, you know, how well it's going to do, I guess.
It's an interesting story because, you know, I'm on the plane and I want to play a game, and more and more games, including not Pokemon Go, which is also obviously only online, but Mario Run, require an online connection, which eliminates, unless I'm willing to pay $20 for the Wi-Fi on the plane. Yeah.
So do you buy the piracy argument?
No.
I don't understand. I don't even understand what that means.
It's just dumb. It makes me mad.
Yeah, that's too bad.
And it appears to be a free game, is the farthest thing in the world from a free game. You get three levels for free and then $10 to unlock.
I will say, you know, I was just going to say, I'll play it on the plane. Actually, maybe I won't. No. Well, I'll be online. Oh, JetBlue has free Wi-Fi. So.
Okay.
I'll play a little bit more. I played through the first world. It's, you know, I think it's like four levels, whatever. I have to say, it is a neat,
it's fun
Nintendo quality experience, you know, and it's more detailed than you would expect given what it is. And it's not just a copy of other endless runners. Like they did their own unique kind of take on it. I would just say to Nintendo, make more, you know, you clearly got it. I mean, just make more of these things.
Yeah. I like it quite a bit. And I did pay the $10, although one of those, you know, app and analytics companies said that only 3% of users have paid for it, which that means 97% aren't going to play it again, because once you go through the three levels, it's kind of, you're done. It's not like, you know, you can kind of play for free for very long.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. Apple denies it. Says, no, it's more than 3%, but then they don't say how much more. So
3.5%.
Yeah, right. So you have to wonder. There's so many good free games, or games that at least give you more gameplay for nothing. But they did sell 50. They shipped 50 or 100 million.
I don't know. I always sort of imagined that these app stores could be more like this, right? Because there are great little games and great bigger games from little places. But when you see someone with the marketing and just development strength and Nintendo tackle mobile and then kind of come up with this, right? Aside from the stupid stuff, like maybe it's too expensive, maybe it should work online. It's neat. It's like really well done. It feels like a console game.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. I'm hearing mixed reviews from the Mario fans. I'm too old to have been a Mario guy. So I don't have any, you know, strong feelings about how a Mario game should be. But some of them say, oh, you know, it's too limited. There's nothing you can do. I feel like there's enough to do that's keeping me occupied.
I find it very challenging. It's very good. And there's some neat little play elements, because you're always running, right? But you actually go backwards and then can redo rooms and can do that, you know, until you grab all the stuff. I mean, in many cases. And the way they do that to me is actually, I don't want to say innovative, but I guess it is innovative. It's well done.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Cyanogen? I see it's
just briefly, because for a moment, you know, Microsoft, I think, invested in this company, or maybe they just partnered with them, but there was this feeling about a year and a half ago that Cyanogen might be Microsoft's mobile fallback plan, right? That this company, which makes kind of an alternate version of Android with no Google stuff on it, well, no Google Pay stuff on it, came to Microsoft, got all the Microsoft apps, you know, integrated Cortana. Like, here we go. This is like the Microsoft experience on Android. And they're gone. So,
well, maybe some say because of it, abandoning the open source kind of free mod community on Android and getting in bed with Microsoft was kind of the kiss. Some say the kiss of death.
Yeah, I suspect from their perspective, they had to do it. You know, that the free for everyone is a good idea until you need to make money, and right. Who knows.
Right.
But
right.
Anyway, Cyanogen had never really materialized as that thing that it seemed like it could have been anyway, as it, for us in the Microsoft world. So I feel bad about this. I know the Cyanogen mod OS is actually going to continue as an open kind of a thing, but I think we can all agree that's just probably the.
Yeah, they have it's a new Lineage OS now. And but that's the right. thing is that the guy who did it is going along for the ride. So
right.
He I think it was his dissatisfaction, frankly, that turned the community against the corporate version of Cyanogen.
Okay.
So
well, it's gone.
It's gone. Whatever. For whatever reason, mismanagement. I like the image that you added to your blog post on this. R.I.P. Cyanogen, and you've got
yep.
drummers playing yep. a dirge. Dum dum dum.
Right.
Dum 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 dum. Dum. Let's take a break. Back of the book coming up. Did you have a good New Year? I don't know if I asked you. Did you have a fine holiday?
I had too good of a New Year.
Uh-huh.
In the sense that I literally went to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning like an idiot, and
you did. You partied.
I don't know what happened. That's
not did you go out, or was this at home?
No, we stayed home, which makes it even lamer.
That's
but
even
we had
weirder.
People. Yeah, I know. I know. You know, sometimes you have. It's almost like I feel like we had an implicit contest to see who could stay up the longest, and that by winning that contest, I in fact emerged as the loser. You know. I know, that's what it feels like.
I like to play Uno or Spit until midnight, go outside, bang some pots, and then go to bed. That's my deal.
Sure.
Simple, pure. Back of the book coming up, including a beer for the carb avoider. But first, it's the Holy Grail. Paul's been looking for this for a long time. A word from our sponsor, Rocket Mortgage. They are looking for people like us, people who live online, life online, who don't want to get a home loan or refi the old-fashioned way, going to a bank or a mortgage lender with a box of paperwork and, you know, multiple visits over a period of many weeks. God, the last home loan, Lisa and I bought our house 3 years ago, and it took so long. We had a vacation. We applied for it. We had a vacation like 2 weeks later. We thought, oh, we'll get this done before then. No, we were still doing it on vacation, right? You were still and you had to get your sister to fax stuff from the.
It was so bad.
Oh, it was so bad. We said never again. Fortunately, here's Rocket Mortgage. It is so easy and fast. You do the whole thing online, even from your couch on the phone or the tablet, and you will get a response instantly. No 4 week wait. Because it's computerized. Oh, wow. We went to a mortgage broker who had like a sheaf of very thin, like almost on onion paper, of rates. And they print it out every day. And he lick his finger and he go, well, let's see. Here's the rate I can find you. Oh, my God. Anyway, Rocket Mortgage is a lot better. It comes from Quicken Loans, which is the number one mortgage lender in the country as far as I'm concerned. You go to quickenloans.com/window. So you're getting a great mortgage lender. And you're doing it in the easiest possible way. And by the way, not only do they turn around fast, but, you know, they've asked all the questions. It doesn't take very long to fill out the thing. You could submit your pay stubs and check, you know, your bank statements, you know, online. No paperwork at all. And then they'll come back to you in minutes with a loan that's just right for you. Like they tailor it around your needs and that, you know, there's no guessing. What's the payment going to be? What's the pity? Principal, interest, tax, and insurance. What's that going to cost me? Those are the numbers you want. And they make it easy. Skip the bank. Skip the waiting. Go completely online with Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/windows. Quickenloans.com/windows, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Quickenloans.com/windows. Mary Jo Foley, once again, just so you know, on day off, because she's got jury duty, she's in the jury room right now, listening to the show. Hi, Mary Jo. Do they have Wi-Fi now in the jury rooms and stuff like that?
I've never done jury duty. I don't know.
You don't know. Are you not registered to vote? Is that why
I am. I voted. I don't know.
You
I
just,
don't know.
I don't want to say lucky because it is your civic duty, and I'm mm-hmm. proud to be. You know, it's a hardship.
Are you saying I'm like a draft dodger or something?
Yeah. No. I'm just saying I don't want to celebrate the fact that you've not been called because being called, while not an honor, probably not even a privilege, is your duty. And I like doing it. And I don't try to get off the jury, you know, because what you don't want.
I've never been selected. I mean, I haven't tried to get off.
No. I'm not knocking you, honestly. But I do know a lot of people say, oh, here's how you get off the jury. It's like, well, if all the people who can figure out how to get off the jury, get off the jury. What's the jury going to be? And what if you needed a jury? Would you want those people deciding your fate? Yeah.
Exactly. I sent Mary Jo the video from 30 Rock where Liz Lemon dresses up like Princess Leia.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's so funny, her methods to get out. And anyway.
Well, I know she doesn't watch TV. She's probably never seen it.
This would all be new to her. The Rural Juror episode, which is so funny.
Yes. Well, speaking of Rural Juror. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Tip of the week.
Yeah, so over the holiday weekend, I had like a very small data loss. I actually do a pretty good job with syncing stuff, and it occurred to me.
Are you minimizing here a very small data loss? What, did you lose a batch file? What I mean?
No, I lost the contents of my desktop. So I used the desktop as a scratch space.
Right? Oh, well, no, that's not small then.
I didn't write this in the article. The one thing I did lose is I actually talked to my lawyer over the holidays, and I took notes. My wife was on the other line. And I lost that. And so we had to kind of scramble like, okay, what were the three things we made sure we were never going to forget? But we did get them. But, and it made me remember, you know, there's a whole host of like kind of fundamental posts you can write about like backup strategies, you know, handling spam, whatever it is. And so, I decided it's been 2 years, you know, since I started Throughout.com. So I wrote up some of those posts, you know, 2 years ago, and I think it's time to revisit those. And so, I started the first two about securing your online identity.
Oh, good.
I actually talked to an identity expert for that one. In fact, let me bring this up because you will find this interesting. He recommends there were four things that he recommended. Three of them will not surprise you. Enable two-factor authentication. Use a password manager for everything, including credit cards. Re-examine your accounts on a regular basis. But the first one, follow modern password recommendations. Microsoft last year revised its password guidance in such a way that I think many people will find just bizarre. Like they're completely against like the common knowledge or the conventional wisdom that we have. And basically what Microsoft is saying is that by forcing people to try to make difficult passwords that are difficult for humans, they're forcing them to create passwords that are easy for computers to break. Because the things that are hard for us are the things that are easy for computers. And like you should look at, if you click on the link and scroll down, there's a list of seven actions, which they say will describe the bullet points there. And they really kind of go against the conventional, some of them do go against the conventional wisdom. So for example, he was saying that like a long password that's just words, all lowercase, no numbers, no special characters. Like this is the reason why we use secure passwords. It's much harder to crack than P, Q, number sign, seven, whatever. Like but it's way easier for you to remember as a person. And of course, you're also using two-factor authentication and whatever. So anyway, I thought this was really interesting. And then since then, I've written one about managing, but also securing your Microsoft account specifically, because I think for a lot of the guys in the Microsoft sphere, that's our, you know, the center of our online persona, if when you think about it. And of course, two-step authentication is a big part of it. But there's a lot of other stuff in there, and you should just check out the article. It's
good.
Microsoft manages a lot of things for your account, including the devices that are associated with your account and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so
this is all really useful stuff.
Yeah, and it's, you know, like I said, it's kind of fundamental. You know, it's but it needs to be done. When I work on the book, I always think like I need to write a Microsoft account mini book. Just so I can refer to it instead of rewriting the same stuff over and over again. And so maybe this stuff combined will turn into something like that because, you know, books are the future. And then a couple of bonus tips. It's the beginning of the month. It's the beginning of the year, but the beginning of the month. That means Games with Gold is renewed. So four new games. This month's games for me personally aren't super, super interesting, but depending on your the things you're interested in, you might find something in there. So be sure to look at that. And then someone asked me about an offline installer for Office 365. It exists, but only if you have Office 365 for consumers, meaning home, personal, and university. And I explain on this in the article about how you go find that. But basically, when you go to install it from the web, you can. The idea is you can install the download the installer. It's complete. Obviously, you might have to update Office 365 afterwards, and you'll have to sign in. But if you have multiple computers you need to install this thing on in your home, and you have a low bandwidth connection or an expensive connection, you can just download this thing once. It's 2.7 gigabytes rather than doing it, you know, individually for every single computer. You can save some bandwidth that way. It's also, you know, nice for people. If you like, for example, I'm traveling, I might want to bring a Windows 10 ISO and a Office 2016 offline installer. And with those two things, if my computer fails, I can bring it back up and get up and running without having to connect to the internet. So that is useful.
Yeah, right. I'm gonna actually do this right away. This is good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I didn't even know it existed.
I didn't either. I thought I had to do the whole thing
online. In asking me about it, I looked it up. You know.
Yeah.
So I don't have an app pick for the week per se, but I mentioned on the last show that we did that, you know, it's too bad AppRaisin didn't do a list of the top app picks for 2016. And he heard me and they did it.
Said, okay. So, well, if you insist.
so there were 10. No, he's right. He's like, right. I never even thought of that.
And still, these are all Windows Phone apps.
Windows and Windows Phone. Yeah.
Okay.
The first one is Vincy, and that's the Prisma clone. Remember over the summer I recommended Prisma, which is an app for iOS and Android. And a bunch of people write in and say, well, what about Windows? You know, and so there's this app. It's actually pretty fantastic. It works very much like Vincy, like Prisma, called Vincy for Windows. And what it does is you put, you know, pump a photo into it, and then it applies artistic effects so it could look like a Monet painting or, you know, a whatever different styles of paintings and stuff. It creates beautiful, beautiful photos. And so that was number one. And then the rest of it's funny. It's funny how familiar most of this list will look to anybody on other mobile platforms, with the exception of a couple things like VLC, which is a video player, Facebook, ProShot, which is a camera app, Instagram, Steam, which I don't understand why that's on there, Twitter, FIFA Mobile Soccer, Facebook Messenger, and then Windows Camera, which is, you know, camera app. Yeah. Actually, the number one app on the list was AppRaisin, which is their app, but I think we can agree that that is there.
They should perhaps recuse skewed themselves.
Yes.
Recuse yourself.
I recuse them for
it. Yes.
Yep. But Vincy's a great app. I mean, so you can make the argument on Windows 10 Mobile. Probably the best app of the year.
Now, we got to get you to the airport. So let's wrap up real quick with a...
Yes. That's right. Yes, yes, yes. So
recommendations for low-carb beers.
Yeah, we talked about low-carb stuff briefly at the end of one of the shows. And someone, Rob Whitehead, wrote in and said, hey, you mentioned low-carb beers. I've actually researched this. Here are the top three. I would say true or low carb, only two of them really qualify. One is Shiner Light Blonde. Oh, I should also say up front, these beers are terrible. So let me explain that right up front.
There's a criterion we need to add.
Yeah, the thing that makes beer good is really bad for you, and it's full of carbs.
In other words, so minus the carbs, minus the taste.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh,
it's just a fact.
Dear.
I mean, it's nothing you can do about it. However, if you're looking for something with fizz and bubbles and vague beer taste, you know, like a Budweiser, but not terrible for you, these beers do qualify. So two of the three, again, are better than the other two. Shiner Light Blonde and Busch Natural Light. They're both about under 100 calories. They're both under 4 carbs. Busch is actually 3.2 carbs. That alone is enough for me just to keep it around if I ever need such a thing. But I've been drinking, wine, which is... Actually, just about this, it's actually a little higher in carbs than this per glass.
But lower than normal.
Hard alcohol
beer.
Is carb free.
Yeah.
So rum and whiskey and scotch and gin, you know, whatever. That's
there you
all.
Go. Forget absolutely. Beer. I'm drinking gin.
Gin free. It's calorie free. It's all good for you. Drink it with abandon. Put it in your cereal. No, don't eat cereal. Cereal's really bad for you, but gin is good. It's kind of a tough message, Leo.
It is. It's tough love.
Yeah.
Gin, steak, butter, and eggs. It's all good for
it's
you.
It's all good stuff. It's all good. If you could stand to like suckle on a butter stick like it was a lollipop, that would be okay
so
for you.
Good for you.
I know it's hard to. People don't want to hear that. It can't hurt you.
People may not even agree with that, but okay.
I know it sounds terrible, but it literally is okay. Uh-huh. I know. We're so
much. And how much weight have you lost? You look good.
So I actually have not been weighing myself, but I can tell
good.
You.
That's even better.
These are the two things that have happened. My belt, like the, you know, you pull your belt on,
belt
two
notches. Nice, nice.
And my wedding ring fell off the other day. I kind of play with it sometimes, and I just went, and it came right off. And I don't think I've taken off my wedding ring in couple of years.
Maybe. Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's so, a good feeling.
Something seems to be happening.
No more fat fingers.
Well, there's still, I mean, so they still go up and down because of, I don't know, heat or.
They swell.
Like right now, I can't pull it.
It's water, by the way. That's what that is, water retention.
Well, but water, see, water weight gets a bad rap. See, people think
it's just water. Water weight is going to kill you.
But that's okay. That's the good stuff. So here's my ring.
Look, he took it off, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm sure Stephanie's thrilled that you can do that.
Well, she was standing there. I was actually talking to her. And I was playing with it, and it flew under the couch. And I was like, my ring came off. And she's like, yeah, now you lost it, too. Congratulations. But anyway, I got a long way to go.
Word to the wise, whatever you do, do not lose your wedding ring.
Yes. I have a friend who lost one on a river trip one time. And
yeah. It's not happy.
Yeah.
Because they read a lot into that.
Yeah. What were the circumstances of this event?
Why were women
in bikinis nearby when you lost the ring?
They lost it, honey. I don't know what happened. It just disappeared.
Yeah, just
the thing is,
on the river.
You've been married for any length of time, you could take the ring off. It's obvious there was a ring there. It's worse than leaving it on.
Right, right. It's like a tree that got struck by lightning.
it's not announcing that you're a jerk.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's true.
So just another tip. You learn a lot on this show.
None of it has anything to do with Windows. But.
No. Paul Thurrott does. He has everything to do with Windows at Thurrott.com. And, of course, his books at leanpub.com. He is about to jump on a plane and head to Vegas. Watch for his CES coverage for the rest of the week and next week on Windows Weekly. Every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1900 UTC on twit.tv. Have a great flight. A word from the Twitter. Brad Sam says Delta is throwing him off the flight. It's too heavy.
Are you serious?
Well, he says the flight's too heavy. I added the throwing him off.
Oh, okay. because of the gimbal he bought.
Lisa and I have both been together. We're thrown off a flight because it was too heavy.
You know what would be worse than that is if they came up to you on the plane and said, sir, can we ask you to sit on the other side of the plane?
That I've had happen. On commuter jets, like that happens all the time. Plane, right? They rebalance.
Yeah.
To think on a 737 that eliminating our two seats, and by the way, as soon as we got off, two other people got on.
Right.
That, I think, was more because they had a higher status in the frequent flyer miles than we did. But they didn't want to tell us that because that would have been insulting. We had moved to a different plane because our flight was way delayed. So I guess we were the equivalent of steerage class standbys.
What do you call the stuff that like they put on the side of it? Ballast.
Ballast. And they said, hey, throw those ballasts off. We've got real paying passengers here. Anyway, have a great flight. Have fun in Vegas. Don't catch the Vegas flu.
Oh, I've been taking, that's what this drink thing was. It's like this gross.
Drink the zinc.
Pink stuff. Yep.
Drink the zinc and the echinacea and all that stuff.
Yep.
Stay hydrated because Vegas is dry. And highly recommend, I'm sure you're going to go to many shows because you got nothing else to do, the Beatles Love. You've seen that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week with Mary Jo Foley. Let's hope, unless she gets on that mass murderer trial that is going to go on for years. Thank you, Paul. Safe travels. We do Windows Weekly, as I mentioned, every Wednesday. You can get on-demand versions of it at our website, twit.tv/dubdub. Or you can subscribe in your favorite podcast appliance. We're also on Roku and Apple TV. And just look for Twit or Windows Weekly. You'll find it everywhere. And please enjoy it in good health. Next episode is episode 500. So don't tell Paul, but I'm bringing a cake. Which I will eat because he can't. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week on Windows Weekly.